Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every man sins, and every sin brings death. Doesn't matter how small it is, one sin is enough to send you to hell. But God sent His Son, and sent the Savior as His gift to save us from hell, those who are saved. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way to get this gift is through Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement, or the forgiveness of our sins. He forgives our sins and brings us reconciliation with God. And God's justice has to condemn sin. He has to punish sin and send it to hell, because He's holy and He cannot have any sin with Him. But then His mercy, because of Jesus Christ, His mercy can save us, because Jesus took that punishment for our sins. Jesus came down, and God sent Him, and since He died, He can take our penalty, and God can forgive sin and remain just, and since He's not contradicting Himself, He can remain holy. And that's because of His eternal plan. That was His plan, to send Jesus and save those who He has elected. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. Jesus is the only way to the Father, and without Jesus we can't get there. And without Jesus we can't get there. And since He paid the penalty, we're free from sin. Amen.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Be looking at verses 3-5. The title of the message is The Sin of Idolatry. It says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all You've done for us, Lord. We thank You for sending Your Son. Lord, I pray that You speak through me this morning, Lord. Keep us safe and watch over us. In Your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we'll be talking about the sin of idolatry. This is a sin that everybody struggles with, whether they admit it or not. Idolatry is putting anything before God. This could be anything like TV, money, video games, and even family. The Bible says here that we shouldn't put anything before God. Look at verse 2. It says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of this out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. I'm going to change, one or two of the words for it to be directed to us. And it says, I'm the Lord your God who brought thee out of the world and out of the house of bondage. Look in verse 5. It says, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. It says the Lord is a jealous God. There's a reason for that. He gave His only begotten Son for us, and worshiping anything else is of open mockery towards that. How would you like it if you sacrificed your son for someone and they told you to your face that it was a waste, that you shouldn't have done it, that he should have died anyway? I don't know about you, but that would make me pretty mad. And that's the very same way God feels about it. We need to be very careful about putting things before God, because He can take whatever it is away, or He can take you out. I challenge us all to examine our lives and make sure that we aren't putting anything before God. This includes addictions, and when you find whatever it is, put it aside or get it out of your life completely, and then ask God to forgive you. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. To overcome any obstacle in your Christian life, don't try to fix it yourself, because without Jesus, we're nothing. Make God first in your life. That's all I got.
If you have your Bibles, please turn to First Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 40. Verse 50 through 51. It says, and he took his staff in hand and put them in five smooth stones and out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he even had in a scrip, was a sling, was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and stone, and smote him. The Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistine saw their champion was dead, and they fled. And the title of the message is People That Struggled But Kept Going for Christ. And you can see here that David struggled. And he prayed to God, and he knew God would help him, like he killed the lion and the bear. Please turn to Exodus chapter 17. says, And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there were no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, What chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that hath brought us out of the land of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people, which they all be most ready to stone me before the Lord, and take with thee the of the elders of Israel, with thy rod therewith thou smotest the river, and take thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there. Thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and therefore shall come out water of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the name the place of Messiah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, The Lord is among us or not. And you can see here that David also struggled. Moses struggled. And he went to God. And that's all I got.
If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. When you get there, will you please stand? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take up unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You may be seated. The whole armor of God protects us from sin. It is a cover for us. And that word put means to put on, to obtain. And the whole armor of God has every single piece of it. The title is How to Use the Whole Armor of God, and what each piece is for. And when we have the armor of God, we are able to stand firm, we are able to fight against principalities, we are able to fight against the ones that mock us and make fun of us. We are able to tell them about Jesus Christ without backing down. And in verse 14, it says, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins, that's your garments around your waist, and the girt is a belt. So if we have our loins girt about with truth, we're able to stand and proclaim Jesus Christ. In Acts 7, verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen, he preached until the end. He was able to stand firm
until the end of his life, and even at the end of his life, he was still firm in what he believed because he had his loins girt about with truth. The breastplate, it protects the heart, and from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we protect the heart, we can protect what we say. And if we don't, our tongue's just going to fly loose, and we're going to say things without even thinking about it, and then we're going to get ourselves into trouble. Verse 15, it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." With our feet shod, preparation means ready, we are prepared. And shod means to cover up, and it means to prepare. So if we have our feet prepared, we will stand firm. Psalms 1:1. Says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." If our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel, we will stand firm. We will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We won't hang around people we shouldn't. We will not stand in the way of sinners. We will not stand in the way and say, "I could do that, and God's going to be merciful to me, and He's going to be gracious." It's not. And you're not going to be sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're not going to be sitting down doing what they do. You're going to be opposite. And verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked." That the word darts are spears, and they're fiery, so they're temptation. And the word wicked is the wicked one, so it is the devil. And the shield of faith, it is the most important piece. The shield takes the impact. And if we have faith, if we use the shield, we won't worry about tomorrow, what's going to come up. We'll be able to walk out our door and not worry. When we use the shield of faith, faith surrounds us. We're covered in faith. Genesis 15:1. Where's that? It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Abram had faith that the Lord existed and that he was going to be with the Lord. So God said that he was a shield and that God would protect him, he would cover him, and that God would help him, he would guide him. Verse 17, the beginning of it, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation." The helmet of salvation, with the helmet we can hear and understand. And when we hear and understand it clearly, we can proclaim it and we can tell others about it. And with the helmet, we can use the shield better because faith cometh by hearing. With the helmet, we hear. So with the helmet, we can use the shield. And hearing by the word of God. We'll get to that in the last part of verse 17. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 15. No, verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every half thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in the obedience of Christ." This is like one of the main reasons that we have the helmet, to take captive our thoughts. And when we take captive our thoughts, we can tell if it's from God or if it's from the devil. And that is the main reason for the helmet. And in the last part, it says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The sword is the word. And so that means Jesus is the sword. John 1:1. Says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We can take that word, we can take the word that says Word, and say, "In the beginning was the sword, and the sword was with God, and the sword was God." God is the sword. He made the sword, and He is it. So it's like He made Himself. and in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, 7, and 10. Verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God." Verse 7, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 10, Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And this passage of Scripture, Jesus is using the sword, he's using the Scripture to fight against the devil. He's battling Satan in the desert, because this is when he's being tempted. And it's a tool. It's not only a weapon, but it's a tool to witness. Acts 8, verse 35. Says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." And so that, and Philip, he's using the sword as a witness tool. And when he uses the sword, it not only makes it clear, but it helps us to understand it. And by understanding, we can receive salvation through Jesus Christ. And it says, "And without the sword, there wouldn't be faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without the sword, there would be no hearing, so there would be no faith. We wouldn't know what faith is without the sword. The sword is a tool to faith by the helmet of salvation." And that's all I got.